Members, a couple of items of any other business, just to brief you. I've asked Christine to just bring us up to speed on what's happening with the wheel. You may have read, I think, in the paper, there's been a fair bit in the press anyway, but Christine may want to update us on that. And then, at the request of several members, I've asked Christine to just tell us where we are on Site 3 on the central reclamation. If you remember, we reviewed and commented on a planning brief, but we also expressed views on the fact that this was a very, very iconic and sensitive site, and that we thought government should be looking at alternative ways, if you like, of achieving a design solution as well as a satisfactory price. And again, I'd like Christine to just brief us on that. Thank you.
Let's do it one by one. I'll talk about the wheel first. With the blessing of this commission, as well as with the CNWDC in June, actually, 2016, we actually agreed to extend the short-term use of the particular site for the use of wheel and peripheral activities. And so with that endorsement, the Lands Department actually rolled out an open tender exercise for a new SD for 3 years on November 11th. The tender invitation, just like the past previous one, was a two-stepped approach, meaning that it's a two-enveloped approach. Each tender would have to submit both a rental proposal as well as a technical proposal. And rental proposal is apparently the rent. As for the technical side, it would include assessment criteria such as the site design, the plans for daily operation, management and promotion, ticket price for the adults as well as for those who are elderly and disadvantaged, and the community engagement program. The community engagement program was actually a new requirement added into it after noting that there could be more to be done, like distribution of free tickets, for instance, from the tenant to the community to make sure that the underprivileged could also take, have the opportunity to enjoy the wheel. So the open tender exercise was closed late last year, and on the 23rd of May, which was just last week, LandsD announced through its website the tender result, and the successful tender received the highest score in both the rental and technical assessment. And the successful tender is a new tenant, which means that there would be a change in operation, change in hands of the operation of the wheel. And members may wish to be informed that LandsD has accordingly served notice to the current tenant about the termination of the current tenancy in accordance with the tenancy agreement. We are arranging a meeting with LandsD, together with LandsD, with the current tenant to discuss various issues in relation to delivering a vacant possession of the site to the government. And it's expected that the site could then be handed over to a new tenant in September of this year. So basically, the tender exercise was completed with this result, and I just reported the result according to the assessment criteria, and I'll see what questions members may have. Yeah.
Maybe just in practical terms, this therefore means that the existing wheel will be dismantled and that ultimately a new wheel will be put in its place?
I think members may recall that at our meeting, at our task force meeting in June, members actually raised the concern over these transition arrangements. And after taking into account members' comments, we actually included in the new tenancy agreement the provision that the new tenant, if any, could indeed, with the approval of DLO, continue using the same observation wheel that is currently being used, other than the one that they have proposed in their technical proposal. What that means is that, of course, it's a commercial decision between the two tenants and also their business decision and negotiation results, but there is a provision in the new tenancy agreement that allows for the continuation of the existence of the present observation wheel. However, in the circumstances that the two tenants cannot reach an agreement out of commercial reasons, then there is, of course, the possibility of the requirement of the demolition of the existing will, and then the new tenant bringing in their will that is included in their technical proposal. In the last HC and indeed DC paper, we already included that possible scenario, because even before the tender procedure, we envisioned all these possibilities. And there is indeed the possibility of that transition to take place. But everything would be happening according to licensing procedures and also the tenancy arrangements.
Any estimate of what that transition period might be?
In the second scenario, right? According to the experience of EMSD and also other licensing requirements, and also depending on the actual operation of the new tenant, we would expect that that may take about a year's time may require a year to obtain all the necessary licenses. However, we also are in a engagement with the new tenant to facilitate, and also to, I think there's a common goal to minimize the disruption, so-called, in terms of provisional public service. I would also like to point out that for the site itself, apart from the will per se, there is also the public, public space for event organizing. So even without all the licensing required of a will, there is the possibility of the new tenant to make use of the remaining of the site to make good use of it for public access and also organizing of events as well. So I think because this short-term use is not just for the will, but a will with ancillary services. So I think we will look into all these options to make sure that the provision or the early public enjoyment of the site as a whole.
I think you may need to manage the situation as far as the community is concerned.
We also understand that the new tenant are finalizing their proposals, and they would make proper announcements. It's on the responsibilities and the duties to explain to the public what their plans are, and also shortly, announce how the arrangements are going to be.
Okay, thank you. Members, any questions on that? Maggie, sorry.
I know it's rather a detailed point, but would the proposals that they make tell us, if they have to, if it's going to have to be demolished, what arrangements are made for waste disposal? Because it worries me stiff, because I know they had to put a great deal of foundation concrete on that site, enormous amount. How do you break it up, and where do you have to take it off? It seems to me the most weird way of carrying on.
In the tenancy agreement, there is provision governing. I mean, they have to comply with relevant environmental regulations and protection provisions. But I think when we consider this open tender exercise, I think we have taken on board various considerations. And I think members agreed by then that noting all these challenges and possible risks, open tender exercise is still the fairest and most transparent way to make sure that the precious Harbourfront site would put to best use. I have to emphasize that there is a two-envelope approach, meaning that the winning tenant actually won in both technical and rental size. That's the result of an open tender exercise. So I think we have this result, and what we're trying to do is, of course, I note Maggie's point, and make sure that there would be minimal disruption, not just to the public, but also in terms of the production of waste. So I think the provision that the new tenant could make use of the existing will is, of course, a result from members' deliberations and also foresight. And I think it's put to good use. I hope that could, have a better resolution of the transition.
Okay. All right. Good. Do you want to just brief us quickly on site
three? Sure.
Thank you.
Just a recap. Indeed, the draft planning brief was discussed on October 19, 2016 at the 24th Task Force meeting, and then a design workshop was organized subsequently on the 2nd of November. And then eventually the MPC of the Town Planning Board actually endorsed the planning brief on the 23rd of December, right before Christmas, in 2016. And we also made a brief report at the meeting on the 12th of January. I have now tabled, the members would have a copy of the MPC paper, which listed out some of the important proposal that members have concern about. Now, I would like, all members would have a copy, and if you don't mind, indeed, if you flip to paragraph, just a moment, all the members' views have been summarized and responded in the planning in the MPC paper here. In paragraph 4, I think, it would have summarized the views there. And, I have to find my copy here. Paragraph 3 would have all the...
Can you help us with the page?
Sure. Let me find my highlighted version. Yes, here you go. Sorry about that. Now, if members may refer to... Paragraph 3, the title of it is that Task Force and DC's views on the draft PB. So in paragraph 3, it listed out all the, the summary of members' requirements. And then we reached 3.9B. I think I would like to highlight for members that your view that on-site disposal is also recorded in the MPC paper, meaning that TPP members have already have sight of your comments as well. And then paragraph 4, ranging from page 8 to all the way to the end, actually records Plan D's response to a lot of these members' comments. And I would like to just highlight a couple of these for members' information. Now, I think members reflected that noting that there is a substantial portion of open space, public open space in Site 3, that we are mindful the importance of vibrancy or attractiveness of these open space. And so in 4.3b, Plan D actually included in the endorsed planning brief the inclusion of outdoor seating and shades and as well as alfresco dining facilities in directly into the planning brief. It also mentions that in determining the maximum commercial GFA of the site, these four spaces of alfresco dining facilities, food kiosks, and open air cafes would be disregarded in terms of GFA calculation. So I think all these are aiming to help provide what members may desire to see happen in the site. And then on connectivity, I refer members to paragraph 4.5e. Members last time talked about wants assurances on making sure that the site would be conveniently connected to its neighbouring sites, even though some of those sites actually falling beyond Site 3 in terms of development schedule. So right now in the endorsed planning brief, it was written that a direct, convenient, barrier-free and weather-protected connection should be provided. And where possible, escalators should be provided as well. And it also includes that apart from the pedestrian connections in the notional scheme, the developer should further explore the possibility of providing additional underground connection openings between the three land parcels of the site as well as with the neighbouring and existing or planned developments. That already provides the incentive or indeed reminds the future developer to make good use of his site to ensure it's well connected with a new or planned developments. And I think members have also pointed out the importance of the retention of some pick-up and drop-off points. And in paragraph 4.6e, you would note that in the endorsed planning brief now, we have included the provision of on-street pick-up or drop-off places should be provided within the site along Long World Road for public use. So that provides a pointer for the future developer to make sure that it would be included. And then 4.8A talks about skylights and voids, and I think this responds to members' concern or comments that the future development should have like natural sunlight as much as possible, even though it has to go underground. So this is aiming to respond to that particular comment. And in paragraph 5, Plan D's views are also recorded, and I hope members would find that the most of the your comments have been addressed. I'm not going to go through them one by one, but most of the comments are recorded and relayed and also responded by the planning brief. So because it's MLP would be required of the developer after they purchased the site, so there would be a mechanism to ensure that the future development would respond to all these comments that have been flagged up by members. As for the site disposal mechanism, the government is still deliberating on the possibilities, and the Secretariat would report to the task force as soon as possible. Yeah. So today I just want to recap what the members' views are on the planning draft planning brief and also the endorsed planning brief and how that already responded to members' early comments.
Thank you. I mean, it's encouraging to see our comments obviously reported and to a certain degree picked up. I mean, the big issue that we were discussing, or the bigger issue we were discussing, was obviously the mechanism for disposing of the site. And I think I've guided you already. It's very interesting, as you know, West Kowloon has been granted the development rights of the buildings at the rear of the site, and it's being allowed to market those development rights in order to secure funding for the rest of the projects on the site. In that case, they have moved from a planning brief to a development brief, which is much more extensive and would have picked up some of the other issues that we identified. And there they are definitely going for a two-envelope approach. Both they want a design concept and they want, obviously, another envelope with the money in it. And I think government might want to engage with West Kowloon to see what they're doing, because they're leading the pack, if I may put it that way, on disposing of sensitive sites, because obviously those sites at the rear of the West Kowloon are very sensitive from a location point of view. And also, if you want to read your South China Morning Post on Wednesday, you'll see an article from me about how we should dispose of sensitive sites, not obviously referring to this one, but generally. Members, any comments, any observations? I think this is something we need to watch. I mean, it is a very iconic site, but a very sensitive site on the central reclamation. It will shape the whole of that area long term, so important that we keep a watching brief at least. Yeah, thank you. Thank you. Maggie?
Just to say, I note that the General Post Office goes. That will actually cause quite a lot of comment.
Right. I haven't spotted that, but there will be. Okay. All right. Fine. All right. Thank you, members. That draws the meeting to an end. Thank you very much. Thank you.